to Mayo's candidates, Nancy Cooper, Jim Kimmerly, and Alan Harrison. We will begin by asking the mayoralty candidates to provide us with their 6-minute opening remarks. So if we could begin at the end of the table with Nancy Cooper, please. You have the mic there, Nancy? Keep track of how the time goes so I don't just get cut off. So I do want to thank all the candidates that came out and supported the community with their thoughts and their ideas. And I really appreciate the team that we've had, but I've also seen some really good council candidates tonight too, so you guys are going to have a hard job. So, good evening, and I just wanted to give you a little bit of an update on where we are now and how far we've come and what I see in the future. So we've opened a school. That's a big thing. And you know, when I was first elected, I said I wanted to be a mayor that would see a school open and everybody laughed. And so just to go back then, you know, in 2011, it was just a kind of a rough time that council and the mayor went through and through the smart centers, and you know, they talked, the economy was down, there was talk of closing another school yet, population growth was down, and you know, it was kind of seen as a quaint little retirement town. But the city has really, really grown since 2012. You know, another part I remember in 2012, Zellers closed. It was the only place to buy family price clothing and shoes, and I received a number of emails and questions and phone calls saying, you know, we need a department store and we need it now and it's necessary. We can't even buy socks and underwear in Sonora. So socks and underwear became the rallying cry. But people went to Vernon and what they could, and they spent their money in Vernon. They bought clothes in Vernon, they bought socks and underwear there, they bought other things while they were there. They went to for lunch, they bought vehicles. So money was going out of town. So now, though, Salmon Arm is growing. We grew 9.3% according to BC statistics in the 2016-17. And the building stats this year, you know, are well ahead of last year. So I'm certain we're going to see that number grow even more. And I think you've all watched the new subdivisions, new buildings, and I'll bet you have new neighbors that you're welcoming to Salmon Arm. So today we have door-to-door fiber optic internet service, which has really helped our tech center to grow, but also our manufacturing, because we have manufacturing, we have high-tech manufacturing. And you know, it's also spurred an industry of technology workers that work from home. And according to Stats Canada, there are 80 tech companies employing around 700 people in Salmon Arm, and there's way more on the outsides of Salmon Arm as well. So the technology of fiber optics and the technology that we have now are just amazing, and they really help Salmon Arm move forward. So the city has also really worked with business. We reviewed the business taxes, and we blended some of the categories. We're able to lower heavy industrial a bit. So, you know, those kind of things do help business because then the money stays with them and they can spend it where they need to. And if you look at the industrial park, there are a lot of manufacturing companies and they're expanding and they're hiring workers. And they have all ranges of jobs there, from entry level to co-op students to trades and all the way up. So, we do look at our our manufacturing, we look at our industrial park, and I'm actually quite proud of it. Are there changes that could be made in Upgrade? Always, absolutely. But we listen to the business community for that. So with all of the growth and the new families that are coming in, and young families, and so Seminar is getting to be known now in a different way. And because we have, as I said, opened a school. And I'm sure that the way things are going, if they keep up, one day we're going to be hearing about us actually building a new school. So we've also brought in the hotel tax, which supports tourism and that whole industry in the Shuswap. And we'll see growth in the tourism industry. But you know, there's kind of a bonus here too, because the things that we're with the hotel tax and things that we can do and the events that we can support actually help all of Seminar and the residents too. It even, you're the ones that are going to experience these events as well, so it's as much for you. So as I said, we're growing and we're changing, and Seminar has become a destination, not just for those who want to live here, but those who want to shop here, those who want to buy socks and underwear. And I know I'm going to be known as the Socks and Underwear's Mayor. But you know, there's other things that are happening, and one of them I have to admit is the we have just signed a. Hold me, I'm done. Yes. So we have just signed a communications agreement on Friday with four First Nations bands, and it was the four communities and three regional districts. And this is it's actually history making. We are going to be working together with our First Nations bands, and Seminar is already talking with Nesquanic and Little Shoshone and Adams Lake about economic opportunities to work together. So I have lots of things on the go. There's lots I could mention here, but I have to stop. So thank you for coming, and I hope that you remember me on October 20th.
Good evening, everyone, and thank you all for coming out. It's a really good turnout tonight for this, and it's a very important night as well. My wife asked me a while back, why do you want to run for mayor of Seminar? And I looked at her for a few seconds and said, Seminar is a good place to live, but I want to help make it the best place to live for people of all ages, a place where whole families can live, work, and play, not have so many young people move away in order to get a good paying job or start a career. That is part of my vision, but to make that possible, we need more high paying jobs to meet the future needs of our youth and young families. We have to attract more industry to the area. It's absolutely key. Like manufacturing, technology, and agriculture are key sectors that fit well into our community. However, there has not been a new business of larger scale that has moved into the industrial park in over 10 years. If I'm elected, I will have a plan developed through an inclusive process to turn that around. The agricultural sector offers a lot of opportunities, starting with a food policy to help build a local food economy. And one of the best ways to grow a local food economy is with a greenhouse industry that can produce quality, healthy vegetables to meet the needs of the community and be less reliant on import produce. Young people that are interested in farming could get started on this by leasing agricultural land that is not being used by local farmers. Page 2. The idea is that these vegetables would be grown with no pesticides, no herbicides, and no GMO. All of this takes strong leadership to make it happen. So let's talk about the difference between leaders and managers. Leaders have a vision that they have developed through a process for what they would like to see done. Leaders have the focus to work that vision to its completion, and leaders never give up along the way. The other part of my vision for Salmon Arm includes moving the sewage plant off the waterfront and opening up that area for redevelopment. Our greatest asset is Shuswap Lake, and we have a great opportunity to build a real showcase of Salmon Arm by expanding the foreshore trail into a wider and safer place for viewing nature and recreational uses. The idea would be to run the trail from the Salmon River to Canoe and make it wheelchair accessible. So we're going to take that trail. If we're elected, we're going to make a plan for that, take it at least 8 feet wide, and have a look at what type of surfacing we need to make that happen. So it's the leader that sets the direction for managers to follow. We have not had that type of leader in the mayor's chair for over a decade. And in my run for the mayor chair, I offer that type of leadership to you. I seem to get asked to take on different leadership roles. In 2007, I was asked by the Shuswap Rotary Club to be the chair of the annual club auction. A typical auction would do about $19,000. So we put a team together, and we ended up doing $40,000, and we gave a check to the Hospital Foundation for the CT scanner program. In 2013, a woman came into the Chamber of Commerce office and asked if we could do something about high gas prices. We put together a media campaign. A few years later, we got competitive gas prices, and in fact, I think today we're the lowest price between Sanmar and the Soyuz. In 2015, I was asked by the Hospital Foundation to help put together a golf tournament to raise money for the foundation. I am the co-founder of that event that has now, over the last 4 years, has raised $350,000. Tremendous event. I was asked to build Prosperity for Seminar, and I was asked to run for mayor. So if you want a strong economy and a progressive community that offers a future for young people, then you will want to vote for Jim Kimmerly to be your next mayor of Seminar. Thank you.
Madam Chair, fellow candidates, and ladies and gentlemen, I am running to be the mayor of Seminar. With 19 years' experience as a city councilor, having worked successfully with 7 city councils and 5 mayors, I have the skills and the experience to lead Seminar into the future. Seminar is being discovered, and no wonder, what a wonderful place we live in. Over the past 3 years, we have enjoyed a buoyant economy, with record-breaking housing starts in our city. Construction is booming. Families are moving to town, and jobs in the tech and manufacturing sector are helping drive this growth. We are at a crucial time in the growth of our city. Leadership is the key for us to move forward. I offer my proven leadership during this exciting time. The foundation of effective leadership starts with the building of strong relationships. These relationships with our Indigenous neighbors, with regional areas, and with higher levels of government are strategically important for Seminar to move ahead. I will build those relationships. One of our local government's most important jobs is building a culture that says to everyone, we want you to come to Seminar. We are open for business, and we welcome you. As mayor, I will lead the way on promoting a culture of progress and innovation. I believe in shared leadership. A mayor needs to have the confidence to distribute leadership so that everyone's expertise is engaged. Building a strong team where everyone is sharing the same story of our city is what we need. We need to be proactive. When elected, I will appoint a mayor's task force on the highway through Seminar. This task force will be asked to make recommendations to council in 3 areas. Area 1, recommend a bypass route for commercial traffic away from downtown Seminar to be implemented by council in our official community plan. Number 2, recommend calming measures to the present highway traffic that will increase the safety of local pedestrian and vehicular traffic. And 3, recommend a site for a truck stop, tourist information, RV pullout along the highway within our city limits. This task force will be asked to report back to council within 1 year. A second file that needs to be a central focus is the replacement of the Seminar River Bridge and the highway improvements west of Seminar. As mayor, I will be very active in working with all parties to ensure this project is completed. Attainable housing. I support the great work of Councillors Wallace, Richmond, and Lavery, and the work they've done with the city's housing task force. We are well positioned to get financial help through provincial grants to make this happen. The key to building affordable housing is to assemble the involvement of multiple players. We at the city can do our part, but the taxpayers of Salmon Arm cannot do it on their own. Public-private partnerships, provincial assistance, and having not-for-profit operators on board are all necessary ingredients. I support this approach, and as mayor, will advocate strongly for provincial government involvement. I believe the time is right to move forward on the West Bay Connector Trail. The dream of a walking cycling trail from Salmon Arm to the Dr. Mary Thomas Center on the north side of the Salmon River is one that is shared by our Nisqually neighbors. For the past several years, I have initiated budget monies to be placed in a reserve for this project. The project is started. I will work hard to move it forward. This summer, once again, smoke from wildfires settled in the Shuswap. When this happens, we all get a little edgy. Memories of the fire of 1998 echo in our minds. Climate change is real. We need to plan for it. Salmon Arm is surrounded by forests, but there are proactive things we can do. The city is presently putting together an application to the province to assist with funding a wildfire prevention plan. We are going to have to share the cost, helping make our city more fire safe. I support doing this. As mayor, the Rappahannock-based file remained in the center of my desk. Councillor Eliasson and I have worked with the province for almost a year. We've established a positive relationship with ministry staff and with the Wildfire Center in Kamloops. As a result, on-site accommodation at the base was extended and regular communication to the city has occurred. We will continue to work this. Our vision is to expand the Rappahannock base to a more year-round facility. Having this wildfire fighting capacity right here in Salmon Arm is worth fighting for. In closing, I feel so lucky to have grown up in Salmon Arm. My wife Debbie and I are so appreciative of the opportunities afforded our three boys in the Shuswap. As a school principal for 29 years, I met so many amazing, talented young people and their families. I want Salmon Arm to be a place that they can return to, a place for the charm of a small town with employment opportunities to raise a family. Having retired earlier this year, I have the energy, the time, and the experience to work on behalf of you as mayor. Together, we will build a strong community. On October 20th, vote Alan Harrison for mayor.
And now we will have some questions for them. So as you have the microphone, Alan, you can start. Each of the candidates will answer each question. So the first question is, what are your two primary goals during your four-year term, and how will you achieve this? What are your two primary goals during your four-year term, and how will you achieve this? And you have 1 minute to answer.
Thank you. My first goal is the highway through Salmon Arm. And I did talk about the mayor's task force on dealing with the issues that we have with the traffic there. That needs to be the number one issue, because it's not only a short-term plan, we need to think long-term. If we do not do something now, 25 years from now, traffic through Salmon Arm is going to be so difficult. So that's number one. Number two is we need to establish relationships with all levels of government. And what I would like to do is I would like to be the leader to do that. I think we need a team approach. I have experience being a leader, and I think I can establish relationships with those higher levels of government to provide the funding.
Well, for me, the housing, which we talked about here tonight, we have to have housing that families can afford. Right now, we here too is we got to have a business attraction program. I mentioned that we haven't had a new business in the industrial park for about 10 years. We got to change that.
I get a reprieve on the time. I think you got the housing part okay, but the other part was the business attraction program, and we just have to get that going. And that takes some proactive planning and thinking to make that happen. I would start looking at Lower Mainland, where businesses have a higher operating cost and traffic nightmares, and their housing prices are through the roof. Some of those companies could do very well in San Mar. Thank you.
So thank you. This is a great question, and I have to agree with Mr. Harrison that the Transcanada Highway and safety is number one. And I have worked with the Minister of Transportation, Claire Trevina, talking with her many times, and I do have a relationship with the federal government and the federal government representatives here. So we are going to push forward that Transcanada Highway improvements, the four-laning and the bridge. And I understand from Claire Trevina, Minister of Transportation, that the tender for that bid is on BC bid, and it will be there for a couple more weeks before it is awarded. They want to award it fairly quickly afterwards. Also, housing, absolutely. And again, with housing, we've been working with the provincial government. The provincial government says that they know that we are underserviced as far as housing goes. And we need all levels of housing. We need rental housing, supportive housing, everything. Thank you. I was assured this was working, but I guess it is now. Nancy, if you could answer the next question. What do you see as the greatest economic challenge for Saminaw, and how will you address that? What do you see as the greatest economic challenge for Saminaw, and how will you address that?
Well, again, I have to go back to housing, because if somebody wants to move here to work, and to live and to work, they come in here for jobs, they need a home. And right now, it's really, really hard. If you have money to come and buy a house, that's great. If you're looking for rental, we all know how difficult that is. The rental housing right now is very sparse, even though we have tried to do things with suites, improving suites and all of that. But we are working with BC Housing. They recognize that. I do believe we are going to hear something. We have also been working with local housing providers, so we put those together. Because somebody who wants to live here, wants to move here, has a job, can't do it unless they can have a home. So, and then they're not the only ones, it's also those that we see, the homeless population as well. We need to look after that. Thank you.
Yes, I mean, we talked about housing a lot, so I'm not going to get back into that. That's certainly very important. We've got to get a handle on that and get that going. But the other part that's really important, I feel, is that we've got an older demographic here in San Juan. And we need to get more younger people here, keep our younger people here, attract more young families here. And when you come down to the retail and services sector, that is absolutely critical. If you look back to 2016, where we had about 16 businesses closed in the downtown, we have to have that younger shopper. Most of us, including myself, we don't need to buy too much. But the younger people, the younger families, they have to buy all the time. And we need to get more of those younger people here in Seminar. Thank you.
Thank you. I agree that housing is the key. There's a direct link between affordable housing and economic development. And when we talk to Gerald Clancy out of Ballard or John Drew out of Forsyth, they would hire more people if they could get them here into affordable housing. And so that's why we have a housing task force, and we're on it. And I expect that over the next year, we will receive monies from the provincial government. A city our size with 8,000 houses cannot build housing. It would cost residents way too much. It's got to be a team approach. We have to make sure that we have the relationships so that we can establish a team of finances in order to afford to do it. We're on our way, that's the link, economic development and housing.
Thank you. The next question, for you, Alan, and the other two as well. What specific measures will you take to help local business thrive? What specific measures will you take to help local business thrive?
Well, thank you. First of all, I support the Economic Development Commission and the Economic Development Officer and Seminar. Their number one goal is to support and help local business. And when you look at the industries in the industrial park, almost every one of them has started as a small local business. Valid Manufacturing in 2008 had 20 employees. Now it has 100. Foresight Consulting. They're the largest consulting, forestry consulting firm in Western Canada. They started small. They were supported. They grew. The businesses that are established and continue to grow and don't just come and leave are ones that are owned by local people that we help grow. And Lana Fitt, the Economic Development Officer in Seminar, is well known throughout British Columbia. I can't say enough about her.
Well, this is an interesting question because you've got two different types of business sectors that really put numbers on the board. You've got the industrial park, and they don't rely on people in San Juan for the most part to make their sales and buy their products. They ship them out for the most part. And then you've got the retail services sector, and that is actually the largest one, okay, that we need to get more of these younger people back in, as I mentioned before. But also, let's have a look at downtown. We've got crumbling infrastructure, brickwork that's sagging, lampposts that are cracked. These businesses, the landlords, they pay about 2.75 times more for their taxes versus the residential rate. And they're not getting what they need to get the town in real, real good shape for consumers.
So again, Economic Development Society does a really great job. One of the things that they do every year is they have a business walk. And we go around town, through the industrial park, out to Canoe, everywhere, talking to businesses. And we do it as a group. Everybody takes a part. And we talk to the businesses and we say, how are you doing? What do you need? What do you want? What can make things better? And we listen to that. They compile all that information and we listen to it. And so if they're saying that they need something, we're responding. And also, just another note too, is that, you know, we have, at the request of some businesses, we've looked at taxes, and we have blended some of the taxes together, the business and light industrial, and we looked at heavy industrial, which supports hundreds of people in working here, and we actually lowered that tax. So we're doing what we can, and we're responding to business.
Thank you, Nancy. The next question, if elected, what transportation issues will be your priority? If elected, what transportation issues will be your priority? Nancy.
That's a great question because I've actually done some research on this over the last couple of years. And talking to a lot of people, and these are lower income people in particular, that really rely on transportation services, public transportation, the scheduling that we have for bus runs and the routes that we have, they're not sufficient to look after their needs. In the industrial park, for example, some of those workers start at 5 and 6 in the morning. We don't have any buses running at that time. So it's impossible for people that work up in the industrial park to use public transport to go back and forth to work. And that needs to be fixed. Yes, it's costly, but it's a service that's really, really needed for the community, and we've got to do what we can to make that happen.
Thank you, Jim. First of all, I'm a big supporter of pedestrian bicycle corridors and trails and walking paths. And so we're always conscious of that during development. As far as transit goes, the cost of transit for the city of Seminar is $1.1 million annually. 50% of that approximately is funded by the province and the other 50% by the city. So extending the times that buses run, I think is something that we can look at because it doesn't mean adding more buses. Every bus you add is 1% tax increase. It's expensive. And and we are worried that the province is going to back out of their 50%. And if that's the case, then we're paying 100%. So we have to be cautious. Absolutely, transit is important. Perhaps looking at increasing the times when it runs would be a possible improvement.
So thank you, and again, it's a good question, and yes, we do want buses, and we have a transit review coming up early in the year, so you all want to be part of it. You want to let us know what you want. We will be asking you, and so that will make some of the decision-making a little bit easier. We know that it's going to be costly. We know that it's going to be expensive, and we have to balance that. At City Council, you're always looking at how you know, what can you do and how much can you afford and how much can we afford to raise taxes. So we have to be very, you know, very conscious of that. We also do have a really nice trail network and more trails that will be built in the future. And yes, we have been meeting with Esconeth and Little Shuswap, or sorry, Adams Lake, talking about the West Bay Trail coming all the way in from their lands into Salmon Arm and along there. So more walking trails, more carpooling.
Thank you, Nancy. Next question is, what is your plan to deal with the increase in street solicitation or panhandling that is taking place within the downtown and outer areas? What is your plan to deal with the increase in street solicitation or panhandling that is taking place within the downtown and outer areas? Who wants to take that one first?
So this is a really complex question, and it's really difficult because we have panhandlers, and then we have people who really are down on their luck and they're needing funds, and so it's a tough one. So one of the things that we're doing is we're working with some of the local providers. We actually try to give people information on where they can get services, but we've also helped out by supporting an application for an outreach worker. So that person will actually go through downtown, helping people, talking to them individually, and saying, assessing their needs, and then trying to connect them to the right services. So that's a big part of what we're going to do is having someone to actually look after that, to talk to them. I've sat down and talked with them as well a number of times, and sat right down on the sidewalk and talked to them and what their needs were, and tried to connect them with some of the service providers that I know of. Thank you.
Well, I know one thing I wouldn't do is I wouldn't have a bylaw and start fining people for panhandling, especially when they don't have a whole lot of money anyway. It needs to be properly addressed and find out what the real needs are of those people in terms of housing, addiction, all of that, mental illness, and put together a plan that's going to work for that. And we got to get a grip on it pretty quick, because if you look at what's happened in some places like Vernon and Kelowna, it is just on like wildfire. And right now it's a small issue for us, and it's one that can be fixed, but we gotta fix it now.
Thank you. There's two parts to this. The first part is the Safe Streets Act, which is provincial legislation and RCMP in force on complaint. The second, the city part is a bylaw, and I believe that we do need a bylaw that provides expectations. I don't think it should be punitive, but we need to make sure we have one. Every other city in the Okanagan Valley has it, and if we don't, then our bylaw enforcement officer cannot act on any difficulties that might happen. I work with mental health and addiction my whole life as a school principal, and so that is the other piece that we need to help with. We need to be able to have people out on the street who can apply assistance for these people and direct them to where they can get help. Lots of people are just down on their luck, and so we need to be able to provide for them as well.
Thank you. The last question is, what plans do you have to combat the growing homeless population in Salmon Arm? What plans do you have to combat the growing homeless population in Salmon Arm? Who would like to take that first?
Well, this kind of ties into the previous question that we had. So, again, you have to look at what is the root cause of having these homeless people in their situation. And we're dealing with addictions and mental illness and all those types of things. But what we're going to be forced with, I believe, anyway, is we're going to have to build some type of a lower cost or no cost type shelter or home for them. And I used to be in the military. I served 8 years in the Air Force. And we used to have barracks. And in those barracks, everybody looked after their areas. And you just had a small little area. And, people that had a little bit of pride in what they were doing and all that, and helped build more pride in what they were doing, they would look after their buildings and keep them clean and all the rest. We need some type of program like that to deal with this situation.
So, thank you, and again, a complex question, but there's a couple things that are in play right now. With the Housing Task Force, we've been working, and I've been sitting in on it, and I've been sitting in on phone calls because with BC Housing. They have programs for supportive housing, not just supportive housing, but 24-hour supportive housing. And when someone has been on the street and they need help, you can't just put them into a house and think that they're going to be okay. They need that 24-hour, and then they can move up from there. Once they can progress forward, but it is a housing piece as well, and it's that 24-hour housing piece, as well as the outreach worker who can help identify what their actual needs are and connect them to the services. So it's kind of twofold, and we will be pushing those forward. We have a meeting or a phone call with BC Housing. We just had one, and we have more coming up. So we're going to be moving this forward there, looking at what possible property we might be able to use.
Great, thank you. There's a number of levels of housing that will help. When our family moved to Santa Marta, we lived in co-op housing to start with because we had the money, and it was a stepping stone for us. What I see is, as a team bringing on a number of players, is I see the city managing that and making the housing, but we do not want to have all of the deep subsidy housing in one place. I see having 30% deep subsidy, 30% subsidy based on income, 40% market housing in the same area, so that in the long run, it's a functional housing piece that's mixed. That's our goal. I think we can do it. We're on the right track. The Housing Task Force, I believe, will be able to access money in the next year.
Thank you so much. Well, that was six questions, and I think answered very concisely by each of our candidates. You're going to get the same offer as we gave to the council candidates, and you'll have exercise moment now, because we're going to have yes or no questions by a show of hands. So, you can vote yes, vote yeah, vote no, or abstain. First question is, do you support the procurement of funding for the Ross Street underpass? Yes. Okay, is there a no? Okay. Abstain. The second question is, cultural planning is a process for identifying and leveraging a community's cultural resources and integrating those resources across all facets of local planning and decision-making. Do you support the creation and implementation of a cultural master plan for Samana? First, yes, aye. Unanimous. Thank you. The third question is, do you support the development and construction of a performing arts center? Yes, vote. Another unanimous. And the final question is, we are at risk for forest fires, large-scale flooding, water contamination resulting from rain or transport spillage, landslides, etc. Do you support the creation of a Samana Emergency Preparedness and Disaster Recovery Program? Yes, folks? Another unanimous. Excellent. Well, thank you for taking part in our yes-no questions. It gives everybody a quick overview on how each of you feel on those topics. We've now completed the questions for the mayoralty candidates, and I want to thank them very, very much for their time and efforts and for putting themselves forward for the position. To let you know that the tomorrow, the day following our forum, the Chamber will distribute a full list of all the questions that were asked here this evening to all the candidates to allow them the opportunity to provide individual responses. They can do that via their social media, their print, or other media channels. So they will have an opportunity to have all the questions again. We'd also like to remind everyone that the referendum to borrow monies for the Ross Street underpass will also be part of the municipal ballot, so we encourage the audience to be as educated as possible on this project and to vote the way you feel. One other small thing I omitted to do earlier, and that was to thank one of our sponsors for this evening, which is the Okanagan Mainline Real Estate Board, for their support. They're authorized by the British Columbia Real Estate Association and a registered local elections campaign financing act. So we thank them for helping to sponsor this event. Thank you. So our advanced voting is on October the 10th and the 16th, and the day of the municipal election is October the 20th. And if you go to www.salmonarms.ca for voting stations and locations and times. So I'd also like to, last but not least, thank you all for coming this evening and for hearing some very, very worthy candidates. I think it's going to be an amazing time. So thank you so much for attending, and we say once again, don't forget to vote. Thank you.